thanks to all of you for joining Focus Wire's fourth LinkedIn audio event. Let's hear it. OpenAI Dev Day and the latest on generative AI for travel. I am Focus Wire Editor-in-Chief Mitra Sorrells, and I am delighted to be joined by three industry leaders. We have Pablo Lotharica, Microsoft Vice President of Advertising for Italy and Spain, Rahul Todkar, Vice President and Head of Data at TripAdvisor, and Toby Corner, Senior Vice President of Digital Marketing at Priceline. I think, Toby, we may be having some technical issues with Toby and his ability to actually join us as a speaker, but hopefully that will be happening shortly as we get into our discussion. So welcome to all of you. It's almost hard to believe that just a year ago, most of us had never even heard of ChatGPT. As we approach the one-year anniversary of its release, parent company OpenAI hosted its first developer conference just yesterday, Monday, Dev Day, they called it, and made a slew of announcements about new products and updates. Two that are getting a lot of buzz, as you likely have seen on media today, the ability to create GPTs, which can be public or private, customized versions of ChatGPT for specific use cases. And the second is the new Assistance API, which they describe as a first step towards helping developers build autonomous agents within their apps. And in fact, the demo yesterday, they used travel planning as an example of that functionality. So Rahul, I wondered maybe if you could start us off, what could these updates potentially mean for the travel industry?
Yep, thanks Mitra, and a pleasure to be here. So absolutely, I think this is a pretty big moment. I mean, I look at OpenAI's announcements really helping bending the innovation curve for the AI industry as a whole. And certainly I do think about, it has a profound effect or can have a profound effect on travel industry as well. And as you alluded to, I mean, I would say there's definitely few announcements that are really intriguing, alluded to GPT, assistant API or agent-like capabilities. There's also, in addition to that, App Store of AI, which was pretty fascinating, which I felt like a bit hidden, but I think it can have a similar like iStore or Apple Store kind of a impact on the AI created apps. On one hand, you can create these apps very easily with GPT and Assistant APIs, but on the other hand, there's a marketplace with a monetization strategy behind it. So there's a rev share, at least some starting points of that. So that means anybody as a who can create an app or a GPT feature can really look at how to monetize it. So that's a huge one.
Yeah.
Yes. Other thing I was just going to say is that other thing which is really important is not only the monetization opportunity or easier creation and tooling around it, but there's a lot of improvements on the existing models, which was covered in the first section of the announcements yesterday. If you look at GPT-4, there's a newer version of GPT-4 called GPT Turbo that was announced, which comes in with a much larger context window. What essentially it means is you can have a prompt size of a book now inside the model, and you can push that. So it's just much richer, much knowledgeable. The cost has come down by 3x for GPT-4 Turbo. And also it's more updated from the latest knowledge, April 2023, if I'm not mistaken. So what that means is really, again, a lot of tooling, much easier, powerful models for developers and everybody to leverage. So that's pretty exciting. And I'll say maybe one last thing is around copyright. There's a definitely indications of more for OpenAI to take on or at least tackle the copyright infringement areas and have the indemnification for enterprises who are using these models. So there's a lot more promising update on that front as well.
Yeah, certainly a lot in that announcement yesterday. And for anybody that wasn't able to watch the live stream, it's accessible through OpenAI, you know, on YouTube and things. It's certainly worth watching. It was really interesting. So just a question for you, Rahul, because coincidentally, just this morning, I was listening in on TripAdvisor's earnings call about the Q3 earnings. And I heard your CEO, Matt Goldberg, mention, you know, you have that AI powered trip planning tool, and that you're finding in early testing that members who generate an itinerary on average are generating 3 times higher revenue than the average TripAdvisor member, and that you're planning to roll that out more broadly. So, you know, clearly you're seeing some benefits there. I'm curious, I mean, what are your thoughts about what you heard yesterday? Are you going to be developing a GPT for TripAdvisor?
So I won't specifically comment on that, but what I would say is we at TripAdvisor have been thinking of leveraging generative AI across many applications. I mean, what you heard Matt talk about was our trip planning application that was launched a couple of months back. 2 or 3 weeks back, we also launched Traveler Insights. So what we are looking at is taking advantage of generative AI capabilities and embedding that across multiple areas of our product. And certainly GPT-like feature, which was announced yesterday, could be one of those, but certainly we are looking at across the board and a whole range of applications to leverage generative AI.
Super interesting. You know, and of course, I heard Sam Altman repeatedly mention yesterday that these are all, you know, the initial steps toward autonomous agents, and that they're moving somewhat cautiously and slowly, but that is kind of what's in sight at the end of the road there, you know, which makes me wonder what that potentially means then for travel brands in relation to how they become visible in search. You know, if these autonomous agents are then doing the search on behalf of consumers, and I'm not the one clicking around on Google or clicking around on different sites, how suppliers can become visible to these autonomous agents. And Pablo, I wondered maybe you can jump in here with us. You know, as you're talking with brands, are they asking for advice and suggestions on how to become more visible, or what are you working on with the brands that you work with?
So that is something that we are actually hearing a lot in the market right now. So for context, as we are not only in a very strategic partnership with OpenAI and ChatGPT, but also we invested into the company. The result of that is how we are embedding that technology as layer on top of all the products within the Microsoft ecosystem. So ranking from Windows to our Azure cloud stack to any productivity apps that are coming now with what we call the Copilot, which essentially is helping every user to achieve more with this generative AI. And within Bing, which is probably one of the largest software categories that we have within Microsoft, we're seeing a big shift. And building a bit on what Rahul was sharing earlier, all these announcements that yesterday they made around specifically the GPTs, essentially what they are creating is hyper-personalization, more, you know, understanding better context creates a better relevancy, and that relevancy basically boosts basically the conversion rates. And so back to your question, what we are seeing is specifically in search, the fundamental components will remain the same. So a query needs to activate a set of answers that with technology, what we're doing in a nutshell is improving. So if you think about a year ago, the traditional search experience was that you were typing a query and then you were getting tons of links, blue links that you needed to find out, you know, whether or not they were satisfying your need. Now we're shifting from searching to finding. And that's the beauty of generative AI through the new Bing chat that it's powered with ChatGPT. And also we are embedding, you know, Bing into ChatGPT as well. So the reality is, you know, those steps needed to provide the user with the right and relevant content they are looking for still will imply those queries in the back end. But most likely it's not going to be humans anymore, but it's going to be more like machines as we get into this kind of agents kind of path moving forward. but more to come on that, and I'm happy to elaborate further.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, we did the panel together this summer at Focusrite Europe in Barcelona, and we were talking on this topic. And I recall at the time you mentioned some tips for brands about, you know, for example, making sure you have good visuals, making sure the content is really clear. I assume, you know, that's continues to be more important than ever, particularly as we're hearing about some of the multimodal functions.
Yes, and that's a good one. So right now, what we're seeing is in the chat experience, it's not searching anymore. It becomes a conversation, and hence an opportunity for those travel brands to, you know, interact and engage with their potential users. Now, on that experience, what we're seeing is formats that are more rich, like images, video, tables, multimedia in general, is creating a much higher CTRs. And in that new environment, in that new chat environment, what we're seeing is that there's potentially less slots, but those slots with bigger real estate, meaning an opportunity for brands to stand out, you know, much higher than before. And so those formats will continue to be the focus from a new advertising perspective. And actually, we released recently even new formats. And this is what we call conversational ads. So we are creating, and this is something that we are aiming to launch as per the beginning of 2024, where we're aiming to create a native type of format within that chat experience. So that actually builds natively into the whole experience, where if a user is searching for a specific content, we might be able to provide with advertising that type of need. An example of that could be what we call comparison ads. So think of it as you're going to Paris on a trip and you want five stars hotels, for example. So we will pull from the feeds, you know, all the data that based on that query or that prompt from the user, all the characteristics from all the potential different hotels that actually respond to that specific prompt. And that way we are putting easier in front of the user a quick comparison to, based on the specific requests and context from that user, what are the best options? And from those options, we're displaying that in a way that it's easier to make a decision. So all in all, the goal is to provide a better experience and shorten a little bit the path to conversion, which is ultimately what brands look for.
Yeah, it's all just incredibly interesting and moving so fast. Rahul, I just wonder, you know, any reaction from you to what you're hearing Pablo talk about there? I mean, clearly some of that is impacting the work that you're doing at TripAdvisor, I'm assuming.
Definitely makes sense in terms of what, you know, what Paolo was saying. One thing in particular was, it's very interesting. Search becomes not just searching, but finding. And the way I think about that is, even it can extend a step further. It's just not finding, it's just presenting the results to a user, right? Which is where we've heard a lot about zero click, right? The new search experience now becomes, you type in a certain thing and those results are presented in a zero click manner to you, which is fantastic from a consumer standpoint. But this is where companies have to think about, what does that mean? How companies should take that into account, present the results, like first and foremost, be in those results. That might require certain additional things or new things, content that is very context rich, right? That has to be thought through at every step of the way. Multimodal content is absolutely the way to go. Not just text, but images, maybe videos. How do you combine that? How you bring it all together? And be that as a leading part of your strategy. So thinking about that, multimodal is a big one. And then lastly, I would say another big area of at least thinking that we are doing is, where can you think of conversational experiences across all of your product, all of your experiences? And across all form factors, because, you know, search is really top of the funnel, but that once the user expectations are set, that's a way to get content, receive content, interact in a zero click manner, that user expectations those user expectations are set at the top of the funnel, but they will likely continue across the rest of the funnel. So every company should think about, what does that mean? Do you think about conversational experiences across the whole funnel? And if so, what do you need to change? How do you evolve? That becomes a big consideration.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that's occurring to me, you know, back at the beginning of the year when we were just, everybody was talking about ChatGPT and we were hearing, it seemed like hourly from brands as what they were doing to integrate it. All of the talk or most of the talk was around plugins, you know, and I know, you know, there were several brands, Expedia, Trip.com, many that created plugins for ChatGPT. I don't believe TripAdvisor ever went the plugin route, and I don't think Priceline did either. Unfortunately, Toby is still having difficulty joining us, but I'm just curious, Rahul, maybe your thought. I mean, it seems to me that at the very least, these GPTs now kind of replace plugins, and plugins are kind of yesterday's news, right?
That's right. And plugins, there's a reason why we didn't jump on that. I mean, it's very appealing to think about initially what plugins could do, but I, for one, was a bit skeptical in terms of what's the experience that we are delivering with plugins. Right. And in my mind, that was a bit of a, it was evolutionary. It was a work in progress. The plugin and the, like, how do you deliver data? That was evolving, especially last few months. But the GPTs, in my mind, becomes a not just plugins, but a lot more than that, where what you can think of is with, especially with the GPTs, not only you can push your data, which has been a big limitation off the plugins or even the certain types of LLM models. How do you take your own data, embed that or enhance that with the context, with the knowledge, with the LLM? That becomes very helpful. How do you think about adding instructions or a combination of skills that can then become a really comprehensive experience for the user? So definitely I would say GPTs would be a new way of interacting on the ChatGPT interfaces.
Yeah, you know, and on the one hand, I suppose, you know, we applaud, of course, the innovation and the way we saw, you know, people and companies across the travel industry really jumping in to trying to find ways to use this technology as it was emerging. On the other hand, you also start to think about maybe some value in a more cautious approach to figure out, you know, where the real value is in investing time and effort in creating solutions. Moving so fast, right? It's just moving incredibly fast. Pablo, I wonder, you know, what else as you are talking with Microsoft clients and advising brands and such, anything else that you can share that you are hearing from them or that you are telling them about working with this technology?
Yeah, there's a couple of bits that I maybe like to expand a bit farther on. The first one is everything that we are hearing and actually building from Rahul, the GPTs, I think it's a brilliant strategy to actually create two things simultaneously, which is one, scale through also that marketplace and actually get this technology even to more people, both end users and enterprises, but also customize. And normally when you customize, the problem with customization is that it's hard to scale. Here they are basically achieving both at the same time. And I think it's brilliant. Now, with that, one of the things that we also need to bear in mind is how the behavior from a user is changing. In the past, we used to actually get, you know, less context. And that is something that it's not easy, right? And so the more context we get, the better the solutions we can actually build and tailor for. And the result of that is always, increase the sale through rate at the end. Now, there's one thing that also Rahul mentioned, which I think it's important. In that shift into that zero click kind of environments, with that change in behavior that I was referring to, one of the things that we were seeing, for example, is in the past, let's say on the traditional search engines, you get normally a query of 2.3 words. In this new environment, leveraging these conversational chats, what you get in average is, you know, 8-9 words per query. So that actually changes fundamentally the way users are searching for, you know, products in general, and more so in travel. That provides way farther context and a way more refinement on the type of needs they have. And the expectation is that the answer they get is also way more personalized to that. So back to how we need to build our assets as brands to better engage into those realities, I think it is important also to understand how our users or potential clients are searching for our brands and assets. Because now, with that shift towards more long-tail queries that we couldn't perform before, that also provides us and every type of business the opportunity to understand better the context of the users, what they are searching for, and how we might need to update our assets, our content, and basically our marketing campaigns to better target those specific needs. So that to me is something that we need to learn as we go, because essentially this is new. So in, you know, 6 months, we perform already more than 2 billion chats. So that is actually pretty outstanding. And we're seeing people that are not only looking at search for finding answers, but they are also creating stuff. We discussed earlier about being this technology multimodal. We are, you know, integrating visuals, we are integrating image recognition, we are moving from text to voice, voice to text, and the list goes on. So all those new enhancements, in a way, are shaping the way users are searching on internet. And so being able to understand what are patterns versus isolated events, it's also important to cut the noise, understand actually what moves the needle, and hence adjust our strategy moving forward.
And maybe, if Mitra, if you don't mind, I'll just kind of jump in, because this is where I you know, back to what I was alluding earlier, is the user expectations will be shifting quite a bit. I mean, what Pablo exactly alluded to that is really, when you think about the conversational interface or interactions becoming the centerpiece, whether it be search, but or even chat in that search, but also I would say the same applies to everywhere where there's a knowledge base and a traveler is looking to find that information. So I would extend that same thinking to even on customer service. When somebody's reaching out, a customer has a question or a complaint or a resolution that they need to get to, or site search where somebody's trying to find information. And this is where we see those applications, especially TripAdvisor. We have billion plus reviews. We have 4 million plus monthly active users coming to our site. There's just a lot of desire to get to the right information in the most fastest way, and also in the most personalized way. So that expectation of a conversational interaction is also, we are seeing, something that users will want to have across all the touch points.
Yeah. You know, I heard you just use two words there. You said getting to the right information and the personalized information. And certainly, you know, that reminds me of a comment I think I heard that Sam Altman said just recently, that he expects AI to be capable of superhuman persuasion. So I'm just wondering, either of you, thoughts on that? Because clearly, you know, as one of the comments I recall, Pablo, we had talked about on the panel in Barcelona this summer, was when I was doing a search, let's say for hotels in London, it was maybe only surfacing two results for me initially, and then I could ask for more, certainly. But it does, you know, are there some risks there with super personalized information not surfacing the broader scope of choices?
Yeah, no, indeed. That's why I was kind of smiling when you said superhuman personalization, because it always comes with that bit of a shadow of that, right? I mean, we've seen that, especially I've been in the big tech for a long time now, where personalization has been around. We've talked about personalization. I mean, I remember even back in the days of recommendation systems when they came along. And then a lot of the work search engines did in terms of understanding the intent and delivering a certain experience. What's the fine line between personalized versus what's creepy or not okay from a user experience standpoint? And nowadays, even more from a compliance standpoint, we obviously all saw what the new AI regulations, and at least in the US, what Biden administration is thinking about from an AI policy standpoint. So in my mind, the way to straddle that or strike that right balance is to look at what it's always a give and a get, right? What I mean by that is personalization works if there's a bi-directional value exchange, right? So in that where you want to present something as an information packaged in the right context, and in that users get something meaningful out of it. It should not come across as a company is trying to sell a product all the time when you're, as a user, as a traveler, you're just a it's an audience that is being marketed to. But rather, it has to be a meaningful value exchange. And that's where knowing the context, knowing the user intent, understanding and marrying that with your rich first-party data becomes very important. And so that's how I would think about these, or at least my interpretation of superhuman personalization would be, where companies have lots of data. I mean, certainly in the case of TripAdvisor, we have lots of data. Historically, we might not have fully leveraged that. And when you look at our assets, brand assets, which is Brand TripAdvisor, Viator, Fork, Cruise Critic, we have a really good understanding of our traveler profile. And when you look at that kind of data and look at the brand like TripAdvisor, you can think of leveraging these powerful models now, which weren't available at that cost before. And so that's where I feel is a really sweet spot. Getting this all first-party information, enriching it with your context or external activities or even external some of the data, and then delivering that in a very meaningful fashion.
And I agree with that. If I may jump in here, I agree on that value exchange, but also I think that personalization comes, it's directly linked to the amount of data and how you are able to capitalize that data. Because the problem is we have a lot of data, but not everyone is able to structure that data in a way that actually can pull the right insights and those insights, the right actions to personalize. So we all have seen examples or have been in situations where we get advertising or even content that doesn't pull through advertising, that it's not relevant to us. And that is a very bad experience. However, the reality that we are playing now with actually up levels at the whole game, because now we have more reliable tools with this technology that enables that personalization, more accuracy, and actually more flexibility also to play with. Now, how we use that, it actually depends on every brand, and we might actually find different approaches. The only thing that I'll say, though, back to the example that you were referring at Mitra earlier, also when we were discussing in Barcelona, is every person has a different context. So the reality, and for me, the beauty is when you are searching for something, that previous context might actually define a different offering for you than for me, than for Rahul, for example. And so here, for me, what it's key is how we are utilizing all these contexts that now we have, and that we can utilize in a structured way to provide a more tailored solutions. So to me, the fact that you get 2, 3, 4, 5 different results only works as long as there is a value exchange where those offerings that I get actually are suitable and relevant to me. As long as that happens, I think there is a positive value exchange. If it doesn't, there is where we need to actually keep on improving that experience.
Yeah, no, that certainly makes sense. I do want to mention, if anyone that's listening has a question for either Pablo or Rahul, by all means, just click that raised hand icon and we can enable you to ask that question. One of the things that went through my mind as I was listening to the presentation yesterday, of course, as they were talking about how easy everything is becoming within the OpenAI system, and you know, no code, and just create these GPTs and put them out in their new store and potentially make money off them. I'm just wondering, both of you, your perspective on the type of innovation that we may see coming out of this, specifically across travel. Certainly, we know that there's a lot of really enthusiastic, smart, innovative people across this industry. And in fact, I want to mention next week, we are putting out our annual list of the hot 25 travel startups for 2024. Do you expect the pace of innovation to pick up in the coming months now with these announcements yesterday?
I can go first. I would absolutely think so. I mean, what I would say is with OpenAI's announcement, again, like alluded maybe at the top, we'll see a really meaningful bending of the innovation curve, right? Where to build a GPT model-driven application, even like up until this announcement, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes work that used to go, or I mean, it's so interesting that I'm referring to in the past tense, where you have to look at multiple technologies and stitch them together. How do you inject content? How do you think about this retrieval augment RAGs framework? How do you think about vector databases? How do you think about multiple ways to manage the latencies and cost and context windows? So arguably that is getting easier with some of these announcements and the features that are behind the scenes of GPT or assistant API. So I would definitely see that helping developers and spurring innovation absolutely in the travel industry. So that's one. However, I would just put out a bit of a caution out there is, although the speed at which new features or apps will be released will be fantastic, there will be an element of responsible or ethical way of doing this. Like what data is used, how it's leveraged, what kind of information is exchanged back, what kind of transparency is built into the models, into the process. So I think there's not enough discussion on that yet, but I do foresee that to be a bit of a differentiator from the apps that are fantastic or quick to market, good user experience, but the apps or the companies that will differentiate will have to think about a really transparent and ethical way of leveraging these technologies.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. Pablo, I want to hear your reaction as well, but before you jump in, just to say, I mean, that's something we've been talking about since the beginning of the year as we've been covering this, is sort of this balance between wanting to move fast and wanting to be first and wanting to be out front, but then also wanting to do it right and wanting to be cautious of privacy and data and all the different security issues that are involved here. So certainly that's a delicate balance. Pablo, any thoughts on this topic of innovation and what this may spur for the industry?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, of course, but what I can certainly say is I see two trends coming. And the first one is when it comes to speed, I agree. I think we're going to see even more speed coming in, especially the moving to a marketplace where also developers and users all over the world can contribute to that. That will have a multiplier effect for sure. Right now, we've been actually seeing those releases through Microsoft or through OpenAI. Now, you know, the moment we are offering this technology for users to come with their creativity and their use cases, I think that will create a multiplier effect into the speed of new solutions and new applications. Not to even say that path that we're getting towards those agents that eventually will, you know, even take more protagonism. But that is, I guess, one, and the reason or the driver behind that acceleration in speed will be probably the fact that we're opening up to more people to co-create. And I think that's a smart move. Then the other piece is how this technology also applies to every other touch point where users interact with technology. And one of the things that I can say, and one of the things that I feel more excited about, it's how we are adding generative AI into every single product within, for example, Microsoft. And now let's think for a second on the amount of hours we are working with tools. It could be Outlook, it could be a PowerPoint, Word, Excel, Windows. Every single product that we utilize every day will have this copilot, which essentially is this technology ready to use to help actually get more productivity, get more creativity, get more things done, and essentially empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And to me, that has a profound change on how we are operating as businesses, not from the advertising world, not from the consumer perspective, but also internally within the organizations, how we're going to be upskilling our employees to better utilize this technology to become more efficient, more productive, and hence capitalize and capture more value. And I'll put an example, because I think to me it's super illustrative. If you look at the main Office products that we have, say Excel, you know, most people use Excel. But if you are like me, which I am a pretty average user, probably you're utilizing 10% of the features and potential the product has to offer. Now, the reality or the intention behind this generative AI and our copilot is that with this technology, being an average user, you might be able to extract that 90% remaining that you couldn't tap before, now thanks to this technology. And the result of that, it's not only the speed and the automation, which definitely is very much needed in many sectors and many functional roles within the company, but it's also giving the space to the technology to automatize and to do stuff that perhaps we're not happy in doing, and then free up that time to do stuff that had more added value or that come actually with higher motivation for those employees that eventually can actually add more impact into the organization. And I'm super looking forward to, you know, seeing all the advancements that are coming through that line, not only again on search and the final users, but also on how the different tools and technologies will adapt to this new change.
Yeah. Maybe if that's so well put, Pavel, I would say one thing to add to that is, I mean, since we are in this bit of a prediction mode, which is kind of interesting every few months, one of the predictions, I would say, especially with this easier like tooling or tool chain and a lot of the capabilities that are now available easily with this announcement, one thing I can absolutely see is this will be the age of micro applications. Right, especially in the travel industry, where what I've seen is a lot of the leverage points for generative AI have been a traditionally pretty heavy features or applications. I mean, certainly trip planning is everywhere. There's different areas of content summarization generation have been some of the leading use cases. But I would say every small step, I mean, you can always envision this as a Apple or App Store, where you can have a very specific and very micro application, which does only one thing and does it really well. So right. I can envision something similar happening in the travel space, where either on the consumer side, on the B2B side, or on the SMB side, there are so many pain points that users have, travelers, partners, like everybody, OTAs. I can see these point solutions being created now much faster, much better with this technology being available.
Yeah, really, really interesting times, no doubt. As we're getting ready to wrap up here, I don't think I see any questions from our listeners, so we'll just get ready to wrap up here shortly. And you both kind of have touched on this idea of looking ahead and maybe a bit of gazing into the crystal ball. And I know this is moving very, very fast and it's very hard to predict next steps, but I just wondered if you could each take a guess at maybe what we might be talking about, let's say a year from now, if we get back together for another one of these LinkedIn events, Rahul and Pablo, you know, and maybe this is a bit of a dreaming moment for you, but like, what might we see with generative AI a year from now, whether specifically related to your companies or in the travel industry more broadly, what could it be doing? Anybody want to go first?
I can share my wish, which might not necessarily be the case, but specifically on travel, I think this conversation about from a user perspective, getting this agent that is able to already book on my behalf with, of course, my permission, it's something that I love to see. Which, yeah. You know, to put that example, as I was mentioning in the past, if I you know, want to search for a trip with my family, you know, two adults and three kids, and I want to be in a place that it's 3 hours away by plane from Barcelona, I want to see kind of how the different results come as a result of that query. But also, I love the technology to go through all the different steps until getting to the booking, such as, you know, like adding my credit card details, you know, going through the different steps needed that you need to fill in until you make the booking. So improving that process through an agent on the back end is something that I love to see if that happens in a year.
Yeah, I mean, certainly with all the talk yesterday about moving towards these autonomous agents, it certainly seems that we are moving in that direction. And I agree that that could be really an incredible experience. Rahul, any other thoughts on what we might be talking about in a year?
I think in a year, I hope we talk a lot more about how the experience will be disrupted in the travel industry. I mean, I'm big on what's the end user experience look like. And again, obviously there's a lot of technology, data, a lot of great brands are doing all this work, but the experience, core experience in my mind has to be fundamentally different. I've been hoping from a year from now. We just touched on conversational earlier. Maybe there's multimodal interaction points. You can interact with audio, which has become much easier to do now. And just, you know, there's so much hard work in trip planning or just in the travel planning space. So travel planning, inspiration, booking, all that becomes much easier. So I just wish that the experience becomes dramatically simpler, kind of like what Amazon did or Netflix did to e-commerce and content consumption, respectively. So I do hope, you know, again, year is a bit of aggressive time frame, but I do hope in a year from now, given the advancements we are seeing with the AI technologies in particular, I do wish that to be fundamentally different from what is now.
Okay. And now we do have a few people that have some questions. So let me, I'm going to start with my colleague, Sharuta Fadness. Sharuta, I think you may need to unmute to ask your question. Sharuta from Focusrite, what's your question?
Hey. Thank you, Mitra. I just had a question, just following up to something that Rahul said about micro applications. I'd be interested to know, you know, some use cases maybe along those lines. What do you mean when you say your prediction is that we're entering the age of micro applications? Can you elaborate?
Yeah, and this is a bit of a, maybe it could be my dream or wish list kind of scenario, but I do see this happening. I mean, if you look at what's the parallel in the world of App Store today, there's, if you look at certain e-commerce ideas, I mean, there's obviously we look at very specialized shopping stores. I mean, if you look at where you go for Amazon for one thing, Pinterest for another thing, and Etsy for certain else, I mean, these are big companies, they're not micro or small applications by any means. But what I'm trying to get at is there is a very specific need from a user standpoint, and there is a very specific catering of that need or from a company standpoint. So I see a microcosm of that, or at least some of that beginning to happen with these micro applications in the travel space, where I can see if you're looking at boutique hotel searches. Sure, there are some players in that, but that could be now enabled with better data, better experience, obviously very powerful AI. You look at, you are just looking for a specific destination, you're planning for that. How do you go about that? You're looking at very specific event that you're looking for, and you need some planning around that. So I could see very purpose-built applications that are catering to a very specific need in the travel ecosystem. And this could be extended in the B2B space, in the SMB space, very specific focused areas of need that are now addressed, because previously it was very hard to build solutions against those. But I can see now the barrier to entry on building these solutions is much lower. So you can see that happening.
Okay. We have another question. Michael Meng, a travel tech analyst at Lufthansa Innovation Hub. Michael, can you unmute and ask your question?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. So thanks for your time, everybody. This is mostly directed at Rahul, but of course, Pablo, if you have some input, that would be great. So there's a lot of buzz around generative AI's impact on the problem of fake reviews, and this is a problem I'm particularly interested in. So I read in a FocusWire article that TripAdvisor has this year already removed 65,000 AI-generated reviews. But given that in 2022, there were only 1.3 million total fake reviews, this 65,000 represents less than 10% of that number. So this is notable, but not completely overwhelming the platform. So I have a few questions about this. Number one would be, how does this number, the 65,000, compare to TripAdvisor's expectations of the magnitude? And number two is, given that many AI text detection tools are unreliable, do you feel that this 65,000 number represents the real magnitude of the problem? And the final part of the question would be, do you anticipate that AI-generated fake reviews will still become a larger problem? I know it's a lot, I apologize, but if you need some clarification again, I'm happy to repeat.
No, that's a great question, Michael. Here's how I would answer, I would think about that. One is, the fake reviews problem isn't new or specific to the travel industry. We know that. I mean, at my previous company, where I was before I was at LinkedIn, this was one of the big areas we focused on internally as well. So I would say, I mean, kind of starting with the last part of the third question first, which is we've always had fake reviews as a challenge, as a problem across the industry, across multiple industries. And with AI tooling becoming helpful, I mean, one of the things we didn't touch on today was not only the AI tooling helps companies come up with fantastic applications, but it does also create this tooling, or at least the tooling is available for bad actors to leverage that as well. So I do see the potential of fake reviews or certain malicious activities happening with AI tooling as well. So would I project like how would it shape, I mean, and to what degree? Probably not, but again, that's where at the minimum it could be, some of the challenges could be in a similar space or similar level that you've seen today. Now, when I think about that, what we are doing at TripAdvisor is what we shared with those 65,000 number, it's not the first time. I mean, this has been a very conscious effort for many years now. Again, I've been at TripAdvisor for less than a year now, but I've known and I've worked very closely with our trust and safety group, where this has been a very much a big focus for the company, where what we have, even before Gen AI tooling, had been looking at manual solutions, which are very rich in context, and then how do we automate that with multiple technologies, including prior generations of AI tooling. So this has been a very conscious effort, and hence some of the numbers you see may not be as big because of that, because this has been a big effort already underway for many years. And lastly, I would say this is not a one and done effort, as we all know. AI, as with new technologies and tooling, the bad actors have different threat patterns, different signatures that are hard to decipher. And so we are considerably investing in this area. Even this year, this quarter, we are looking at multiple additional ways to get to this problem and really get to the core of our brand, which is really getting the brand trust and travelers' confidence in TripAdvisor.
Okay, and we are just about getting out of time. I just want one final question from Cammie, who has been patiently waiting. Cammie, if you want to unmute and quickly ask your question.
Sure. I'm curious with the conversation earlier about these results through finding rather than searching, offering a narrower result for people, maybe 3 to 5 results rather than the 10 that we see now or whatever on search. How is that going to play out for smaller travel companies, boutique hotels, et cetera, who don't have the behemoth ad spend that enterprise companies do?
Yeah.
Well, I can take this one because I think it's a super interesting question. And I'm glad you are asking it because regardless of a chat experience or a Bing chat experience, so the one powered by ChatGPT or the former search, I think the fundamentals are pretty much the same. And so allow me to do one step back because I think it's important. So when we were searching on a traditional search engine, probably you all remember that moment where for the first time you type in your query. And then it's not that you find 10 results, you find 10 million results for that query. And hence you've got multiple pages where to, find related content to that query. Now the shift from searching to finding is that we've been used to, putting a query and trying to find what we wanted within the top links. And the reality is the ranking of those links is strictly related to the relevancy of that link towards the query that was initially posted. So that same principle applies here, both for advertising and for organic results. So for a boutique, actually hotel, to your point, this new chat experience might actually even create a better differentiation opportunity. Because in the former traditional search experience, people, as I said earlier, in average were, typing in queries that were like 2.3 length of words, right? So 2 words, 3 words. Now we're shifting from generic to way more long tail type of searches. And what that essentially means is that you're looking for more elements, more specific kind of needs that qualify better that type of search into what that boutique hotel might have to offer. So the principle will be always relevancy. And it's not, whoever pays more gets into the higher actually ranking. Here it's going to be predominantly built on relevance. So if you are a small boutique hotel or a small, provider of any type of service, if that query the user is searching has something that you as a company, no matter the size, have to offer, and you are probably the best to offer or satisfy that need, you will be actually appearing on the top, even paying way less than any other big players that might be competing on that specific query. So I think it's important to understand that the principles by which we will be pulling and operating are always starting with that relevance. And the more we get into long tail, the easier it is for smaller players to differentiate, as there will be new attributes that they can actually score higher and hence appear higher. Hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, that does. No, that's very, very interesting. And certainly I think that's a topic that we will be hearing more about and discussing more about for sure in the coming months. We are out of time. This has been such a fantastic discussion. I want to say that I hope to see many of you next week at the Focusrite Conference in Fort Lauderdale, where I know generative AI will be explored in many of the sessions. Thank you to our guests, Pablo and Rahul. And again, apologies to Toby from Priceline that he was having some technical difficulties. We will try to get him on to our next Let's Hear It event. Thanks to all of you for listening and to my colleagues, Gene Koh and Alexis Capiatas for their help in producing this event. Until next time, I'm Mitra Sorrells. Thanks so much. Goodbye.